Michigan's most trusted news, weather, and sports for 75 years. News Radio 1490 WMRN, Marion. Your Marion area forecast, coming to you safe and sound from the Marion Community Credit Union Weather Center on News Radio 1490 WMRN.
Rain showers with windy conditions today. A thunderstorm is possible. We'll see a high of 64. Windy with showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. A few storms may be severe. We'll see a low of 51. Sunshine and clouds mix for your Thursday with a high of 54. For Christmas Eve, we'll see a few clouds from time to time. We'll have a low of 41.
Minutes after 6 o'clock, 55 degrees in Marion, Wednesday, December 23rd. And there is a slight risk of severe weather later on today. Now, the Buckeyes followed up their win Saturday against Kentucky with a 20-point win last night against a pretty decent Mercer ball club, winning 64-44. Shaquan Lyle led the way with 18 points. Buckeyes' third straight win. They're 7-5. They'll host South Carolina State on Sunday before starting Big Ten play next week. Some good college basketball games last night. Top-ranked Michigan State avoided its first loss of the season. They beat Oakland University in overtime 99-93 last night. And number 5 Virginia at home. They led for less than a minute of the entire game. It still defeated California in overtime, 63-62. Also, number 2, Oklahoma defeated Washington State, 88-60. Number 3, Kansas beat San Diego State, 70-57. Sixth-ranked Xavier over Wake Forest, 78-70. Number 8, Arizona beat Long Beach State, 85-70. Number 9, Iowa State survives 3 missed shots by Cincinnati in the final seconds. They win 81-79. 13th-ranked Purdue beat number 25 Vanderbilt 68-55. A couple of bowl games yesterday in the Mid-American Conference came through with a couple of wins. Akron goes out to Boise, Idaho and beat Utah State 23-21. And Temple and Toledo hooked up last night down in Boca Raton, Florida. Toledo won that game 32-17. College bowls today. This afternoon, Boise State plays Northern Illinois in San Diego, and tonight, Georgia Southern plays Bowling Green, that game down in Mobile, Alabama. The suspension appeal hearing for Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. takes place today. He was suspended one game for his action in Sunday's loss to Carolina. If the suspension is upheld, he'll sit Sunday night without pay when the Giants visit the Vikings. Panther quarterback Cam Newton, New England quarterback Tom Brady headlined this year's Pro Bowl selections. Newton, one of 10 Carolina Panthers selected. That's an NFL high. Brady, one of 7 Patriots picked for the All-Star game. 2 Browns named to the Pro Bowl, Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. Both are going. Thomas's 9th time, tied in the record held by the Browns' Jim Brown and Lou Groza. 5 Bengals named to the Pro Bowl, Andrew Whitworth, Reggie Nelson, Geno Atkins, A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, all named to the Pro Bowl. Cavaliers go for a 6th straight win tonight. They welcome the New York Knicks. Tonight, the Cavaliers then head out west for a 4-game series, including a Christmas Day matchup with Golden State. And that is a check on sports for this morning. Tonight, we've got high school boys basketball. Going to be over at River Valley tonight for the boys' game between River Valley and Cardington.
The founder of WMRN, Robert T. Mason, December 23rd, 1960.
2 o'clock, December 23rd, 1940. Before Pearl Harbor, before building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant, before Marion Engineer Depot, before Marion launched on a program of rebirth and rebuilding. 20 years ago, a new voice of progress appeared upon the scene, a voice dedicated to public service and community progress. This was and is the voice of WMRN, a radio station which in the past 2 decades has become an integral part of community life. While other electronic media have emphasized rock and roll or frantic and frenzied broadcasting, it has been the unswerving policy of this station to render only substantial and intimate service as could be obtained from no other source, even to recovery of lost pets or people. Thank you for your support for the past 20 years. May the future be bright and happy for all of you as we now begin our 21st year of broadcasting from WMRN.
That was December 23rd, 1960. Fast forward December 23rd, 2015, as we celebrate our 75th anniversary today. 23 minutes after 6 o'clock, Charlie's going to be in. Terry Cole's going to be checking in. Got a couple other people going to be calling in. They used to work here at the radio station. And just going to open up the phone lines between now and 9 o'clock. Maybe you have some memories, maybe good or bad, of WMRN over the last 75 years. If you would like to come on and just kind of share some memories of WMRN, please do. 740-387-1611 is the number you can call to connect.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here for what I think is one of the great occasions for Marion, Ohio. We're very close today to realizing the dreams that a great many people in Marion have had for years and years. It's through the voluntary effort of hundreds of people and the contributions of thousands of people who have made this occasion possible. Those of us who have been close to the YMCA for many years realize what a great occasion this is. We all will be proud, I'm sure, someday, to see a nice YMCA building standing on this spot.
Our assumption is that in, 50, 60, 80, 100 years from now, sometime on some occasion, this box will be open. No doubt people will be very curious. I assume by the time that happens, there will be no such thing as telephones. No doubt everybody will carry around a little radio device of some kind in his pocket. You won't need a telephone. We were looking for some sort of a record to put in this box that might give people at that future date some good idea of what existed in Marion at the time. A city directory was a little bit bulky. We selected the telephone directory, which will now be presented by Mrs. Isley.
Thank you, Mrs. Isley. I think Ben is right. When this building is gone and this box is open, neither Ben nor I will need a telephone.
Do they have telephone service there, Jack?
Rod Serling, creator and host of The Twilight Zone, wrote and produced this Victory in Europe message when he worked as an intern at WMRN, May 6th, 1948.
Ask any ex-GI Joe from the 7th Infantry, or the 512th Combat Engineers, or one of the ex-Screaming Eagles of the 101st Airborne. Yeah, ask any of the others who took that conducted tour through Europe. And found the reception was, well, far from pleasant. Or if you could, ask any one of the dull foots of the UN airmen who found that tour was a one-way affair with no passage home. They'd tell you what May 6th meant. Oh, yeah, they could tell you. They could tell you from where they are now. Casino, Anzio, Cologne, Sicily, Normandy, oh, a lot of places. Names on the map is all they are. Names on the map. They used to be marked with dots. Now they're crosses.
Sounds of Rod Serling. This was in the Marion Star, an ad that WMRN took out on December 23rd, 2015. Marion, Ohio radio broadcasting station, WMRN, is on the air. 250 watts, 1,500 kilocycles, operating 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Radio broadcasting station WMRN will be dedicated to the advancement of educational and cultural life in Marion. It will encourage the development of local musical, dramatic, and civic talents. It will provide entertainment of the highest quality. It will encourage and stimulate the commercial activities of the community. Its purpose is simple: to serve the residents of Marion and surrounding towns and farms. WMRN, you're the people station. Your desires and wishes will govern its programs. Your talent and artistry will provide many of our programs. WMRN seeks to be an integral part of community life in Marion. Its doors will be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day while operating to any and all visitors. We hope you will visit us often. So that was in the Marion Star, December 23rd, 1940. The day before, there was a brief story in the Marion Star talking about WMRN going on the air. This from November 1948. Formula for a busy radio station: one Fire Prevention Week, one National Employee the Physically Handicapped Week, one Oil Progress Day, one Hospital Drive, one Community Fund Drive, all the period of a fortnight. Yes, this was the work menu for the staff of WMRN. This public service barrage began on the hospital drive with 27 special programs, a deluge of spots, and promotion on regular programs. On the heels of this came Fire Prevention Week, Community Chess Drive, National Employee the Physically Handicapped Week, each with special programs and announcements. There's no rest for the wicked or radio people. At this writing, we are honoring National Watch Week, and National Flower Week is coming. Someone sent us a brochure on National Gourd Week, and a National Dog Food Week is scheduled. Frankly, we are passing these up, at least this year. We are just simply too busy. That from WMRN Newsletter, November 1948. News, it's coming up next at 6:30.
Here's your Marion Area forecast, coming to you safe and sound from the Marion Community Credit Union Weather Center on News Radio 1490 WMRN.
Rain showers with windy conditions today. A thunderstorm is possible. We'll see a high of 64. Windy with showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. A few storms may be severe. We'll see a low of 51. Sunshine and clouds mix for your Thursday with a high of 54. For Christmas Eve, we'll see a few clouds from time to time. We'll have a low of 41.
Degrees, 20 minutes before 7 o'clock, and our sports brought to you by Dr. James Skilsdorf, your Invisalign expert in Marion. High school boys basketball tonight going to be over in River Valley for the game between River Valley and Curtinton. We'll tip tonight right about 7:30. Buckeyes a winner last night, pulling away in the second half, beat Mercer 64-44. Juan Lyle led Ohio State with 18 points. Buckeyes' third straight win. They're now 7-5. They'll host South Carolina State on Sunday. We'll have that game for you. It's a 6 o'clock tip with the pregame Sunday afternoon beginning at 5:30. Two Browns named to the Pro Bowl, Joe Thomas and Alex Mack, both named to the Pro Bowl. Thomas's ninth time, tying the Cleveland record held by Jim Brown and Lou Groza. Five Bengals named to the Pro Bowl, Andrew Whitworth, Reggie Nelson, Geno Atkins, A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, all named the Pro Bowl. Cavaliers host the New York Knicks tonight. Cavs have won five in a row. Cavs then head out to Oakland to play Golden State on Christmas Day. College basketball yesterday. Number of teams in action in the top 25. Highlighted by number one Michigan State, coming from 15 down to beat Oakland University 99-93 in overtime. Also last night, the number five Virginia at home, they beat Cal in overtime 63-62. Number six Xavier wins at Wake Forest 78-70. Number 13, Purdue beat number 25, Vanderbilt, 68-55. And number 21, Cincinnati, they lose at home to number 9, Iowa State, 81-79. Couple of college bowl games yesterday. Akron goes out to Boise, Idaho, and beat Utah State 23-21 in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. And Toledo, they win down in Boca Raton, Florida last night, beat Temple 32-17. Mac doing well. They got a couple of more Mac teams playing today. Northern Illinois plays Boise State out in the Peninsula Bowl in San Diego this afternoon. While tonight down in Mobile, Alabama, Georgia Southern plays Bowling Green in the Go Daddy Bowl. Of course, the Buckeyes play week from Friday. They're out in Glendale, Arizona to play Notre Dame. We'll have that for you. Pregame that Friday morning begins at 9:30 with kickoff at 11 o'clock. It is 18 minutes now before 7.
Happy Water would like to thank the communities we serve for all their support in 2015 and wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
WMRN, Marion, AM 1490. You're listening to the Larry King Show, live from Washington, D.C.
The date is April 4th, 1987.
Hi, this is Larry O'Brien wishing you the very best this holiday season. Happy holidays from the entire staff and management of Marion Radio, WMRN.
1490. This is Merritt Cooper with another capsule comment on passions for 1960.
The anniversary of the ending of the European War, VE Day, remember it? Sure, we hauled ourselves sick at it 3 years ago.
This was and is the voice of WMRN, a radio station which in the past two decades has become an integral part of community life.
WMRN.
Get an early start on that holiday shopping with Doorbuster specials the day after Thanksgiving at Southland Mall when doors open at 5 a.m. Register to win a $100 mall gift certificate. Bring the kids to be photographed with Santa daily at Center Court and enjoy a storybook Christmas with Angelina Ballerina this Saturday from noon until 3 in front of Walden Books. Be sure to have those holiday packages wrapped by Harding Music parents in front of Jubilee. Donations benefit Harding High School music program. A storybook Christmas is sponsored by Pepsi and Walden Books. Remember, Southland Mall gift certificates make the perfect gift. Visit us today and find out why we say Ohio has so much to discover.
I'm not sure how many years ago that commercial was, but remember when the mall opened up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Is it day after Thanksgiving? It is 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, 55 degrees in Marion.
The Rams dressed in their old black uniforms with the orange numerals trimmed in orange and white. The Dunbar Wolverines dressed in home white uniforms with blue numerals trimmed in blue. Mark Anderson steps into the center circle at midcourt with John Diebler, ready to get this semifinal underway. The Rams move from left to right. Their bench is seated to the end to our left and across the court from us. The officials take one final check. The ball is in the air. It is controlled by Anderson, but right into the hands of Jake Diebler. He moves to the right wing, fires to a wide open Greg McKinley under the basket on the left block, and he lays it up and in. The Rams look to press.
Just like you drew it up on the blackboard 5 seconds into the game.
Rams pressing
full court pressure.
And they just threw the basketball toward Daquan Cook in front of head coach Peter Pullen. It was knocked out of bounds by Greg McKinley. So Dunbar will re-enter the basketball right in front of their bench on the end of our right on the far side. It comes into Cook, who wants to handle. He throws it across the timeline, head of the key, Pogue. Pogue bounces right, block to a cutting Sane, who lays it up and in. We are tied at two. Jake Diebler brings it up the near side of the court. Long feet ahead, length of the floor. McKinley catches left baseline. Backs away from two defenders. Kicks out to the head of the key. Miles Weaver's alone for three, and he knocks it down. Miles Weaver gives up with the lead at 5-2. Cook wants to bring it up the near side of the floor. Across the timeline, cut off by England. Picks up his dribble. Flips it out front to Powell in the center circle. To the head of the key, back to Cook. Left wing. Cook lobs in the paint. Here's Pogue from the left block. Turning, having the ball stripped away by Jake Diebler. And then Pogue knocks it over the end line. and the basketball belongs to the Rams.
Well, maybe rebounding won't be as big an issue as we thought if both teams continue to shoot the ball very well. Upper 2 of 2, Dayton 1 of 1.
Madge Guthrie, broadcasting via telephone from New York, July of 1960 on WMRN.
Hello from New York. This is Madge Cooper with another capsule comment on passions for 1960. Think of an overblouse that is gently fitted, that is a little longer than the hip bone. It usually has a round neck, short sleeves, a little less than halfway between shoulder and elbow. Now, pose this overblouse over a slim skirt, a box pleated skirt, a nice pleated skirt, or a skirt with a little flirt of flair at the hemline. This is the basic shape, and the newest and most universal. It has endless variations. It is made by every designer, and I'm sure by every manufacturer in New York, and we've seen at least a few from California. And this basic long body line appears as a suit, as dresses, coats, yes, even coats, as evening wear, and certainly as sportswear. Add a little round collar and a pussycat bow, and it looks schoolgirl young. Wear it collarless and in a luxury brocade, and it looks utterly sophisticated. It's sometimes done in all fur, and it is a shape to be considered.
It's about 3 minutes before 7 o'clock as we continue to talk about 75 years ago today when we went on the air. WMRN broadcast ceremonies attending the presentation of an honorary degree of Doctor of Laws to Sir Percival Waterfield, Civil Service Commissioner of Great Britain by Ohio Wesleyan University. The presentation was made by University President Arthur S. Fleming. The $50,000 Little Brown Jug race at the Delaware County Fairgrounds, now a classic among harness racing circles, broadcast by WMRN for the fifth consecutive year. WMRN was the first station to carry the jug, which now attracts spectators from the nation over and provides a wealthy purse for the winner. Lever Brothers field supervisor Harry Planner reported the response to the WMRN SERP jingle contest was greater than at any of the eight other stations carrying the contest. The kickoff ceremony of the Marion County Community Fund Drive, as well as that of Crawford County, was aired on WMRN together with regular report broadcasts. Marion passed its chest quota on deadline day. General Manager Robert Mason recently addressed a local high school youth club, acted as judge for Marion motorcycle races, and attended the Scout Executive Meeting in Cincinnati. These station managers do get around. Kenneth Obel of Oroville is at the WMRN control panel now. He studied radio at Worcester College and McKinn Technical School in Akron. Diane Wise has been added to the staff as secretary. She is a student at Marion Harding High School and works at WMRN as a part of her vocational commercial training. So just a few excerpts from the WMRN newsletter. This from 1948. And we'll be back with Charlie and got some people checking in with us hopefully later on this morning as we look back on 75 years of hopefully broadcast excellence. News is next.
Marion's News, Talk, and Information Station, 1490 WMRN Marion.
Minutes after 7 o'clock, our sports this morning. Buckeyes pull away in the second half last night, beat Mercer College 64-44. Juan Lyle had 18 points for the Buckeyes, their third straight win. They improved to 7-5. They'll host South Carolina State on Sunday and then open up Big Ten play next week. Cavaliers, they host New York tonight. College basketball yesterday. Top 25, number one Michigan State, beat Oakland University out of Michigan in overtime, 99-93. And number five Virginia, they beat California also in overtime, 63-62. Number six Xavier, they beat Wake Forest, 78-70. And number 21 Cincinnati, they lose at home to number nine Iowa State last night, 81-79. A couple of bowl games yesterday. Akron beat Utah State, 23-21 in the Idaho Potato Bowl out in Boise, Idaho. And Toledo beat Temple, 32-17 down in Boca Raton, Florida. And Charlie Evers is in. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in. We can celebrate 75 years.
Yeah, that's a long time, isn't it?
In fact, I told Terry Cole to call about 7:15, oh, yeah. So I think that might be Terry there. Is this Terry?
Yep.
Hey, good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to have you kind of check in with us for a couple of minutes as we celebrate 75 years. Good hearing from you.
Well, I'm just glad that somebody can still hear me.
you and Charlie both.
That's right.
Terry, you came to WMRN when, and you were here for how long?
I showed up there, I think it was April of 88. And I was there, what, 18, 19 years somewhere, something like that.
Is there one or two things that kind of stand out?
Well, doing the news like I did, there were a couple of news things that stand out that I wished hadn't happened. You know, they stick out in your mind. But there's a lot of good stuff that happened. You know, like the opening of new schools and the advancements that the city made and that the county made. Of course, the people that I worked with, the newsmakers, that kind of thing. And of course, you guys there at the station, I know there's not as many of you there as there used to be, but still, and mostly what stand out in my mind are the people.
Yeah. And, of course, you got a chance to go to Washington for Mary Ellen's when she was sworn in as treasurer, and I know that was one of the highlights.
Yep, it sure was. And she was a very graceful lady, but, she made sure that she came up and talked to me and my wife and the people from the other radio station at the time, so... You know, she just wanted to make sure that everybody knew what was going on.
And I know how much you loved loved covering the different fairs.
yeah, we won't go into that. You know, Charlie's a fair guy.
Yeah.
What was usually pretty strange, though, was mostly I did the news, but once in a while, especially on Saturdays, I'd have to fill in and do the show. So that was kind of different to do, too.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I know you were a big part of the 75 years for almost 20 years, and just wanted to have you kind of weigh in and appreciate that you called in. Good to know that everything's going well with you and your family.
Yep, everything's going great. Looks like we're going to have a good Christmas, and a little bit later this morning, I'll head off to work and transport people to their doctor's appointments and things like that.
Excellent. Well, Terry, good hearing from you, and when you see Brendan, be sure to thank him for the gift that he gave Scott and Paul and I, okay?
Okay, I sure will, and tell Scott and Paul I said hi, too, will you?
I definitely will. Thanks, Terry.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
All right. Terry Cole checking in. Terry did not enjoy covering the various fairs, but that was, you know, when I first started here 35 years ago, I started in May, and of course that was just kind of starting the fair schedule. And I remember, and because when I started here, I worked evenings. I was on 7 to midnight. So I never, I was always sleeping when you and John Steele and Steve Stewart were on.
Oh,
so I never heard you. But you would come in some nights. You'd be at the Marion County Fair until 10 or 10:30. You'd come in and you'd record stuff, some interviews that you had done. You wouldn't leave here till, you know, sometimes 11:30 at night, and you were back here at, you know, 3:30, quarter to four the next morning.
We covered, at that time, six county fairs. We covered every, we had a seven county listening area, but we only covered Hardin County. We didn't cover Hardin County. I remember covering them once, but not for this station.
Yeah. And I remember, well, we covered them for a couple of years when I was here, but that's the same week as the Popcorn Festival. So once they started the Popcorn Festival, I kind of took care of us covering the Hardin County Fair. I've seen some pictures. Again, we got some old newsletters and some pictures and so forth of the WMRN tent, not only at the Marion County Fair, but some of the other fairs. And literally thousands of people would come to the tents.
I've got some of those pictures going clear back into the 40s of the fair. And, yes, that was the highlight for so many people. And we had so many all day long from, say, 9-something in the morning till in the evening, we had programs originating from the fair. We had a lot of contests. People won grocery bags or bags full of groceries, and it was really, really fun.
In looking back at some of the old newsletters and so forth, Joe Peters, I think Joe started here in about 40. You started when?
49.
Okay, and Joe started about that time.
Yeah.
And once he started, it looked like that's when the remotes really picked up. And I was commenting, it might have been you, not too long ago, the Friday after Thanksgiving, we would start out, we would do a remote at Depot Sales at like 6 to 8 or 7 to 9. We would sometimes do 5 or 6 remotes that single day. Yeah. And almost every Saturday, we did 2 or 3 remotes. It was nice to get the extra income.
The interesting thing, technically, we didn't do too many remotes other than the Kennedy Capers on Saturday mornings. Because our manager thought that the FCC would frown on being at a business for a certain period of time, and that would be counted as a commercial. We were limited to so many commercials an hour at that time.
Okay.
And being at a sponsor or a business for an hour, that's an hour's worth of commercials. And the manager thought, no, we can't do that. So it was Kennedy Capers was the only remote we were doing for a long time.
Interesting. Well, now, when Joe Ione came, he did the neighborhood news.
Yes, he was strictly news.
And he did that, was it Klein's that he did the news there?
Jim Dugan's. Jim Dugan's sponsored neighborhood news. You know, it got to be 123 North Main Street, Jim Dugan's. For all the time I can remember, it was Jim Dugan's a sponsor.
Okay. Well, what was Klein's Quizzers? Was that?
Well, that was Madge's deal. Yeah. Klein's department store, I think, went out of business about the time I started, or a little bit before.
And where was Klein's located?
I can't remember which building it was. Down by Mays Jewelers, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that might have been the building.
I remember we always had a news block at 7:30. 6:30 was a big news block, maybe 6 or 7 minutes. But the big news block was 7:30. It was always sponsored by Depot Sales, Jim Dugan, and Lord's Jewelers at that time. And they sponsored it for years.
Yeah, what an era that was when you think about it. And we had so many sponsors that lasted years and years, like you say.
I had been doing mornings about a month, not much longer than that. And it was 6:30 news. Bill Mercer was our news director.
Oh, yes.
Remember Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Bill would go in. Bill, I mean, he had a cigarette in each hand, and he was one of those. He never put a cigarette out. He would just light another cigarette.
A real chain smoker.
Yeah, had a great voice, and eventually died of cancer.
Yeah.
But he did the news, and he would always do it like first take. And he would also was our production director, and he would sit down. He would do a commercial and be, you know, between 29 and a half and 30 and a half seconds all the time. He never had a watch or anything.
Yeah.
He just knew. But he had done a story about somebody in Lake Erie using a shyster lure. And that was the last kind of a kicker, we call
yes.
it. The last story he did. Somebody had caught a record-breaking fish on Lake Erie, and he sent it back to me, and I said, speaking of shysters, this portion of the news has been brought to you by, and I mentioned the sponsor. Never made the connection. And about 8 o'clock, Sheldon Dodds, who was one of our salespeople, came in. I'm not going to mention the person's no longer alive, and the business hasn't been around for years and years. But Sheldon came in and said, did you make a comment about this particular business? I said, no, I don't know who the person is. And Roger Fisher came in, who was our program director at Sports Radio. He came in about 8:30 and made the same comment. I said, did you make a comment about such and such? And I said, no. I said, must have been the guy in the FM. So then George Yocum, who was just become our general manager at the time, he came in about 9 o'clock and said, what did you say about this particular person or business? I said, I don't know. You're the third person to ask me why. Well, he's on the phone. He's going to sue us.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't remember. Bill didn't remember me saying anything like that. So I ended up, when I got off the air, went home and put on a suit and tie, and we went down and tried to appease him. And
oh, really?
He finally agreed not to sue us, but he never would shake my hand.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That was years ago. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stories that Charlie was involved in and some of the history, again, of WMRN. And thank you for tuning in. It was 75 years ago today, just about noon, that WMRN went on the air. We've got boys basketball tonight. Going to be over at River Valley for the game between River Valley and Cardington. We'll tip tonight at about 7:30. We'll be back with Charlie. News is next.
Here's your Marion Area forecast, coming to you safe and sound from the Marion Community Credit Union Weather Center on News Radio 1490 WMRN.
Rain showers with windy conditions today. A thunderstorm is possible. We'll see a high of 64. Windy with showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. A few storms may be severe. We'll see a low of 51. Sunshine and clouds mix for your Thursday with a high of 54. For Christmas Eve, we'll see a few clouds from time to time. We'll have a low of 41.
It's before 8 o'clock, 55 degrees in Marion, and our sports brought to you by Dr. James Gilsdorf, your Invisalign expert in Marion. Buckeyes, the winner last night as they got up to a slow start, but played a good second half. Iowa State beating Mercer last night, 64-44 down in Columbus. Juan Lyle had 18 for the Buckeyes. Buckeyes host South Carolina State Sunday. Two Cleveland Browns named to the Pro Bowl, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack. Thomas's ninth time, tying the Cleveland record held by Jim Brown and Luke Rosa. Five Bengals named to the Pro Bowl. College basketball, top 25, number one Michigan State, had to rally from 15 down to beat Oakland University in overtime last night, 99-93. Number five Virginia beat California in overtime as well, 63-62. Number six Xavier won. Number 21 Cincinnati, they lost at home to number nine Iowa State. Couple of bowl games. Akron wins the famous Idaho Potato Bowl out in Boise, Idaho, 23-21. While Toledo beat Temple down in Boca Raton, Florida. That score was 32-17. Tonight it's boys basketball. Going to be over at River Valley tonight for the game between River Valley and Cardington. 19 minutes before 8 o'clock, Charlie is joining us this morning in studio. Time for Quickie Quiz. If you know the answer to our Quickie Quiz question for this morning, I will fix you up with a free car wash from Blue Streak Wash and Fill, located on Delaware Avenue. Also give you a free garage door and safety inspection from the door guys at 793 North Main in Marion. And also, if you'd like, got four tickets for the Harlem Globetrotters. They're going to be at the Shot down in Columbus next Tuesday for two shows. One at 1 in the afternoon, one at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you'd like to go to that, I'll give you four tickets for that. Charlie, what's the question?
Well, this one will be an easy one for some people. There used to be a hardware store located on the west side of South Main between Center and Church. Of course, it has been there for years. Can you name that hardware store on the west side of Main Street between Church and Center?
Used to do advertising with this because I remember
That's
the name.
Right.
All right. So if you know the name of the hardware store, 740-387-1611. Hi, good morning. Do you have an answer?
Turner Hardware.
Boy, that was quick. What? That was quick, yeah. Is this Ernie?
Yes, it is.
I thought. Do you know Ernie Brees?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I wonder what relation he has to Gloria Brees.
It's a distant relative.
Oh, okay.
Ernie.
Ron's my brother. You probably know Ron from Bird Count. And
oh, yes, of course.
Eagle picture?
Yes. Yeah, right. The eagle eating roadkill, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, Ernie knows a lot about a lot of things. And Ernie's been around a long time.
Yes.
So, okay. Ernie, you know the drill. Now, if you want to stop out today, we'll be here only till 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then we'll be closed tomorrow and Friday. But if you want to stop out, next Monday or Tuesday, that's fine.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Ernie. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family. So, you recognize voices after a while. Sometimes I don't have to tell them their name. But, yeah, Ernie's a longtime listener.
I could have asked the question. His distant relative was once the meter maid in Marion. What was her name? That was Gloria Brees.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, the meter maid.
Now, when did we have meter maids?
Well, it was back in the 70s. Because, tell you what. Gil Gomez, we had a deal every year. 1 year I pushed him in a wheelbarrow, another year in a bathtub. And he had a retina problem. They had an operation on his eyes. So we put him in a rocking chair, and I pushed him in a rocking chair in my Christmas parade. And Gloria Brees walked beside him in her uniform with a oversized hypodermic needle thing. It was one of those things.
Now, you talked about Gil Gomez.
Yeah.
And, of course, when I started kind of doing it in the mornings, Kathy Francis was the one.
Yes,
and of course, Kathy
right.
had been on for a long time. And people used to love to hear what the weather was going to be like. And if somebody was going to Florida for a vacation next week, give us the forecast or whatever. And Kathy was so good, and I know Gil was as well. How did you get Gil down here to do all the things that he did?
Well,
because obviously he had more than one radio station.
Oh, he had numerous stations every day.
And he didn't do that for everybody.
That's right.
So what was the attraction?
I don't know. I except that I kept him on the line for 10 or 15 minutes every day, talking about the intricacies of weather and this and that. And I don't know. Things developed. And we decided to do something crazy. Well, I organized an all-expense-paid trip to Plankton, Ohio. And Gil Gomez, that was the first thing...
Is that Crawford County?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was the first thing that Gil ever participated in. He came down and with his family, his kids and his wife, and they always stayed at Floyd Clough's house. So we all went on a trip to Plankton, Ohio. There were 20 cars, and the sheriff's cruiser escorted us. And when we got there, of course, they had a farm wagon there and a self-appointed mayor of Plankton, and had sawed out several keys to Plankton out of plywood and painted them gold and gave, it's kind of a ridiculous thing. But on the way, the sheriff's department stopped the car that Gil Gomez and his family were in, playfully, not serious, and it scared Gil's kids. They screamed and cried, thinking, well, because they took Gil and his wife away and put him in the them in the cruiser and left the kids with us. Oh my, that was traumatic. But that's the first thing that Gil participated in. But he became so popular in the Marion area that we decided that we'd like to meet a lot of people, our listeners. So one weekend, he came down and we toured all the little towns around here. We spent hours and hours. The last place we were was in Essex, Ohio, down near Richwood. And I can remember everywhere we went, people gave us cookies. And we had so many cookies, we couldn't stand to eat anymore. And we wanted something else. So we stopped in a grocery store in Essex, and I bought some cheese. And so we ate some cheese as a departure from all those cookies. We did crazy things.
Now, looking at some of the old pictures, when we started out, we were at 1,500.
Yes.
Because I know we have the jingle, 1,490 since 1940.
Yeah, right.
But we weren't really 1,490
exactly,
in 1940.
Yeah.
When did that all happen?
Well, it must have been in the first year. Down where we are in this 1,490 and all these other frequencies nearby, it's a certain class of stations. But I really don't know. I never talked to the chief engineer as to why we were at 1,500 to begin with. I came in, 9 years later, and some of my handiwork is still here, but you can't see it. It's underground. I built the counterpoise, it's called, underneath the new tower. That's radials of copper wire, 120 feet long, and I had to solder them all together, and I did that overnight, every night. Many nights, and then it was all covered with soil, so my handiwork is still here.
You climbed the tower, didn't you?
Twice, yeah. I did work on it. I took tools with me, never a safety belt, though. I depended on my hands to keep me up there, my feet. And, I used to tighten all the bolts, and because we had a transmission line that was three inches in diameter with a center core, and it was held onto the tower by brackets, and occasionally they get loose, and so I would go up and tighten them up.
Without a harness?
Yes. And it was so neat. I could see the outskirts of Delaware. Some of the taller buildings of Delaware I could spot from up on top of the tower. And then our first antenna... See, we went on FM in 1953, and we had, of course, have a new tower, and the Hamilton brothers brought the tower over from the railroad siding, and 15 sections of it, and then the steeplejacks came in and put it together. But I had to work inside the antenna on the ground. It was a big tubular thing, 50-some feet long, and I had to crawl inside there and wire the harness. The copper pipes and everything is complicated. I was thinner then. and so that tower or that antenna lasted for some years, and then they finally put up a brand new antenna on top of the tower.
When you worked overnight, so you weren't on the air.
No, I did maintenance. See, I did maintenance here and other things for 15 or 16 years. Never was on the air, in fact.
Did you want to be on the air?
Well, secretly, yes, but I didn't dare tell anyone because announcers were the pits. Engineers hated announcers, and vice versa, I think. And so you never wanted to say you wanted to be on the air.
That really hasn't changed a whole lot over the years.
Yeah. And so, and I had to carry all the announcers' equipment all the time, and set them up for remote broadcasts. And then I thought, man.
So the announcers are getting paid to do a remote broadcast,
yeah.
And you're just there.
That's right.
Doing all the work.
Doing all the work, and all I had to do was point to them, and they started talking. And I thought, wouldn't it be neat if someday that I got a job like that, and they could wait on me? Well, by the time that happened, we converted into announcer-engineer combos. And so I never did have that privilege. I took the equipment out and did the announcing myself.
And you always want to get there a half hour or 45 minutes ahead of time. And
at least.
Still do that with ball games.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
never know.
98 times out of 100, everything's going to, they're going to hear you back at the station. But
right.
It's that one time or two times where, well, I'm not getting anything.
Oh,
you
got
to run back, get another piece of coax or a different microphone cord or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably don't. We used to do, of course, all the football games and basketball games, like in Elyria, Sandusky, and all over for Harding, and they had to order a telephone line.
Yeah.
And you never knew if that line was going to be...
Oh, I know. And that was the way until really cell phones came into existence, like we would do...
Or the Marty transmitter.
Yeah. The first few years, if I had a football or a basketball game, a lot of times you wouldn't know... You know, they'd play on Friday night, right. And if they won, they'd play the next Friday night or whatever, and you'd have to call the phone company on Monday morning, and normally they'd say, well, it takes 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and it's like, I can't wait 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. And sometimes you'd be on with the phone company for 2 or 3 hours trying to get an order and trying to get a phone.
And that was at a time, too, when Big Island out here was a Ohio Bell exchange. There were two men who worked there. Stoney was one, I can't remember, Dallas. Dallas and Stoney were the men who worked there, and they're the ones who connected the lines up for us, you know, patched them in and so forth. And so I was always calling them, I can't hear this or I can't hear that, and they'd fix it up.
Oh,
oh my. That was an era.
We're going to come back, talk more with Charlie again. WMRN celebrating 75 years today. 55 degrees, WMRN. Greg Sens on the other end of the line. Greg, we missed you on Friday.
Yeah, I was sicker than a dog.
That's what I understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was almost down to the kennel, but I'm back in Adam. I had to get back here because we're in the Christmas season.
Well, I know that. That's not a good time to be out. So
first time.
Wanted to get you on today, and then we'll get you on tomorrow, obviously, with Friday. So I stopped in yesterday, I guess it was. You were really busy yesterday.
Oh, we have been busy, and we're gearing up. We got more freight in last night, so all the last Christmas shoppers, we got stereos coming in, and we got more drones that we marked down and remote control helicopters. Of course, we got big supply of TVs in yesterday, so we have anything from a 15-inch to a 70-inch. They're marked down 4K, so you get the best picture. Of course, sound bars, we've been going through a lot of that. Your co-partner got one from me this week. I think he probably has it hooked up by now. Eric got one. He loves his. So we got those in. Plus, we've been going through a lot of these new police scanners, Bearcat. Coming by, we get a program for you, so all you have to do is just turn it on, listen to the action as it happens. We got, of course, I know it hasn't been, we've sold some little eat and pure eaters, just take the chill off in the morning, a lot of bathrooms or Florida rooms. Got a few of those in this week, too. Got over 2,000 batteries in the other day, so all your people that need batteries come in, we have those on sale, so we can save you some money there. Of course, closed circuit security system cameras, got more of those in. Wireless headphones for the hard of hearing people who want to listen to TV. Just take a little picture of your TV, what jacks or your instruction. It helps for anybody at any age so they can put wireless headphones and watch TV or a computer or a stereo. We got those in. Got a little bit of everything. We're well stocked. Like you, when you were sorry, I couldn't talk to you yesterday when you came in, but we were getting backed up right then, so we're here, of course, 9 to 6 today. Let's see, tomorrow's Thursday. I think we're open until 9 till 2 tomorrow, so we'll be ready. And got a little bit of everything, little stocking stuffers. We got these little Bluetooth speakers marked down $10, so they're only $29. So you can play your iHeartRadio right through it. If you get a phone call, you know, all night, make the music go down, you answer the phone call, when it gets done, it stops, and your music goes back, and they work off rechargeable batteries. You can use them in the shower or in the workplace or stick it on your car while you're working outside. Got those in. Mounts for TVs, car stereos. We're well stocked.
All right. Well, Greg, we'll do another one tomorrow, but we'll get you on since we missed you last week. And again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, and Pat and everybody, your parents, everybody out at Cervex. And,
well, thank you. I wish everybody, too, all of our customers, all the people at WMR, you and your family, the whole crew, this is the time to be thankful for what we got.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Jeff. Thanks.
Looking at 55 degrees. Basketball last night. Buckeyes a winner at home as they knock off Mercer, winning 64-44. Jaquan Lyle at 18 for the Buckeyes. They host South Carolina State on Saturday. Couple of college bowl games yesterday. Akron beat Utah State 23-21. Toledo beat Temple 32-17. Top 25. Number one Michigan State danced a rally from 15 down to beat Oakland University last night 99. to 93. Talking with Charlie, and even with 2 hours, we're not going to get nearly everything discussed. No. We were before we had to break there at 8 o'clock, we were talking about, you know, kind of working overnight and helping out with engineer. How did it come about that you eventually got on the air?
Ken Charles was our program director, and of course I worked with him in the mornings on the air. I always played the music for all the announcers, and I got so good I could hit the spindle with a 78 RPM record just by tossing it. But anyhow, Ken Charles, our program director, went on vacation. He said, "Evers," said, "you've been here for so many years, why don't you just take over for me while I'm on vacation?" So I said, "Okay." And when he came back, he said, "Well, keep on. Just continue." And that was how I got started. That was 1968.
So did Ken then not be on the air anymore?
He was on the air for different... He had a program called Insight, one evening a week. It was kind of a... kind of a controversial type of call-in. But he just spent his time as program director.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when Roger Fisher, he was kind of my boss, I guess.
Yeah.
When I came here, Roger was the sports director as well as kind of the program director. But he never really was on the air other than to do ball games.
Right.
And he used to do like a 30-second commentary like once a week or once a day, as I recall. Like Sunday, the Giants guy that ended up, getting all these penalties.
Oh, yeah.
He'd do something. It's time for the NFL to get harder on penalties or something. And he would do something like that. But he actually, wasn't really on the air, per se.
Ken Charles is located in California now. He was in the first Bratwurst Festival parade with me. I pulled his kids and my kids in antique wagons, and we walked the parade. That was back in 68 or 9. But he moved to California and started an audiovisual company, I think. And it had a few problems, and everything is pretty good.
Okay.
Good now.
Well, now you started the Christmas parade, correct?
That's right. I thought we should have a Christmas parade, so I mentioned on the air. All I had to do was really mention things. And I said, if you want to be in the Christmas parade, show up here at the radio station by 8 o'clock on that Saturday morning. And the first year, floats lined up across the street and then up Williamsport Road. And we had no organizer. It's just the fact that I mentioned on the air, if you want to be in the parade and build a float.
Did you script things out? Did you write... Did you do much show prep, or did you just come in and that's what I can
do? I still don't.
You're just kind of
lazy.
You just kind of come in, sit down, and whatever comes in your mind,
that's right.
You talk about it.
Yeah. And and so one of the years we had the parade, Marion Harding High School pep band joined us, and it was so cold their instruments froze up. Their valves wouldn't work. And then some guy showed up in the parade, and I thought, what's he doing? And the Harding High School kids had used some antifreeze or something for their horns to free them up so they could play them, and dropped the empty can of antifreeze, and this guy picked it up and cut the top off and walked along the parade, and a policeman came up to me and he said, "Evers, keep your eye on that guy. I think he's up to no good." Well, sure enough, we got downtown. He started going in all the bars and coming out with a can full of money. And he never gave the money, of course, to the service guild. He kept it for himself. It was just one of those goofy things that happened.
A lot of the stations, and it's still to that point, you would have, especially music stations, you would have, maybe 6 seconds between records, and you had to, you'd...
Old timing,
And it's just... And I guess maybe that's why I just was comfortable here. We didn't have any of that. As long as you got the commercials in, that was all it counted, basically.
When I went to WDIF after here, that was the big thing. You had to talk over the instrumental part of the song, and you had to time it so it, when you let up, it started Oh, I hated that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went to DIF, it was about 1990?
80.
Or, I mean, yeah, 1980. Because you left right after I basically got here. And you were there for 10 years. Then you came back, but it wasn't quite the same.
No, it was a lot different. Of course, at DIF, wasn't, you know, they promised, too, that I would continue with my farm program. Well, that didn't last very long. They cut it out shortly after I got there. But and I was farm director for 10 years here, and I really enjoyed that. I had to learn so much, and my sponsors helped out, had me at seminars and everything. I had to learn agriculture from the bottom up, and I really enjoyed that. So when I went to DIF, though, that was all cut out, and I, you know, I really missed that.
Yeah. Well, you were on the air. A lot of people probably figure you were on the air for four and a half hours. You weren't really on the air in the morning for that long.
You're right.
And then you would stick around after you got off the air, because I know you did the farm hour then from 12 to 1 o'clock. But a lot of times in the morning, you were just kind of killing time.
Yeah, and it was so. And then the, can't remember what, well, it was 1977. They had Charlie Evers Day at the Marion County Fair. And I was so flabbergasted, you know, I thought, gee, what an honor. And all my sponsors gave me gifts, you know, and they had this big presentation. And I thought to myself, good grief, what am I ever going to do to pay all these people back for such a nice thing? Well, it was that year that kids burned down the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, aha, here's how I'll do it. And so without asking permission, I started raising money. And raised enough to build that new building on the fairgrounds. And that was a struggle. But I'll never forget, one man came in and he said, here, Charlie, here's a check for $2,500. You think that'll help? And I said, it sure will. It was Hoover Brown. He was the originator of the Wyandotte Popcorn Company. He was George Brown's dad. And
back then, $2,500 was lot of money.
And another lady called me and she said, I'm giving you $5. I'm blind. I'll never see that arena, but here's the $5. And different things like that. But then, half the way through the whole money-raising thing, the county commissioner said, hey, wait a minute. We can't build that new building unless we have a union labor. Because if we don't, they'll picket the fairgrounds. I thought, strange. And I remember the one commissioner said, Evers, can you raise $22,000 more for union labor? I said, oh, sure. And people said, you're crazy. Because when people find out you've got to raise that much for union labor, they're not going to give any more money. Well, they did. That never stopped them, and we went ahead. And later on, I spoke to a national convention of fair managers, and there was one there from Cook County, Illinois. And when I told him about what I went through with the commissioners here, well, everybody started laughing. And this one guy told me, he says, you know, the only time you had to use union labor for something like that would have been Cook County, Illinois, where it was really intensely unionized. And so anyhow, that was, I you know, we got down to the, almost, I thought, am I going to have to borrow money to complete this whole project? But it turned out we got the money, and then, of course, the fair board.
Do you remember what the total cost was?
It was, I think, 80-some thousand. But the fair board, of course, put money into it also, and they got some insurance money. But, oh, my. And we got it built in time for the fair. And my main thing was, we've got to show the kids that we really appreciate them and build this new arena so they can show their animals. And people took that to heart. And, you know, if you're honest with people, you can accomplish most anything, I believe. And so we built the arena. And so I satisfied the previous year of Charlie Evers Day at the fair by paying back, you know,
good for you.
How they treated me. And then, you know, a few years later, a lady called me and said, hey, You know, that statue is missing from the courthouse. I'll give you $300 to restore it if you can find it.
Because I wanted to get into that. But let's hold that for...
Okay.
Let's hold the Lady Justice story for after the news, because that is obviously one of the stories I wanted to talk to Charlie about. Again, WMRN celebrating 75 years being on the air today, December 23rd of 1940.
I see our lie detector is ready. Let's begin. We are about to hear the truth straight from a Frontier executive about Frontier's price for life.
Will Frontier offer reliable business internet and phone for $59.99 per month?
That's right.
At one price for life?
Yes. For life.
It's true. Frontier offers your business a $59.99 per month price for life. Call 1-888-FRONTIER. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is David Bacon for Roth & Bacon Attorneys. At Roth & Bacon Attorneys, we can help you avoid some unnecessary things. We can help you avoid unnecessary probate. We can help you save the family farm or business from an unnecessary nursing home spend down. We can help you avoid unnecessary creditor liability. We can help you avoid relatives fighting over your estate. We can help you select who will make decisions for you if you can't make them for yourself. We can help you with business succession plans so the family business doesn't have to get sold when you die. We can help you get your plan in place, and you can stop worrying about all of these things. These are just some of the things we can do for you. Stop in and see us today in Marion, Upper Sandusky, Port Clinton, or Fort Myers, Florida. There's never a charge for your initial consultation. Give us a call at 1-800-475-2611. We accept all major credit cards. Roth & Bacon Attorneys, 800-475-2611. Roth & Bacon, plan to succeed.
Roth & Bacon, plan to succeed.
This is attorney advertising. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision. Should not be based solely upon advertising. Kurt Coase and Brad Honnold are responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Attention. Call now if you've had an IVC filter placed in your body to prevent blood clots, as you may be at serious risk. The FDA warns that these filters may move or break, which may lead to heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, or even death. Call now for a free consultation. Since 2005, there have been over 1,000 problems reported to the FDA by consumers regarding IVC filters, such as fractures, tearing, device movement, blockage, and breaking of the device. If you or a loved one suffered serious health complications from an IVC filter which moved or broke, call us right now, as you may be entitled to compensation. Call 800-587-4119. That's 800-587-4119. Call now. 800-587-4119.
Girls' underwear only need to be a little triangle with a rubber band on it. Guys have things. Things that deserve to experience the comfort of Frigo by Revolution Wear. Oh yeah! Drop your things into their patented Frigo Zone with the adjustable pouch and experience the customized fit and sweat-free comfort of Frigo underwear. Then, when people ask, how are things? Tell them all about your Frigo Zone and tell them to go to revolutionwear.com to get theirs.
News, talk, and information station, 1490 WMRN, Marion.
Good Wednesday morning to you. I'm Randy Bigley in the Peacock Water Newsroom. Here's what I have coming up for you at 8:30. Good news for gas prices if you're traveling this holiday season, but how long will the low prices last? We'll let you know. Governor Kasich signed 14 bills into law, and the eastern part of the United States is experiencing temperatures never before seen this time of year. I have these stories coming up and more news stories. It's all after Fox News Radio.
News. Ready to go. I'm Pam Puso. At the airport, it's hurry up and wait.
Security has been increased at many of the country's airports, including here in Chicago, and that is also causing a bit of a delay.
Reporter Lisa Chabarrary with Fox 32. The roads are also full of holiday travelers, and driving could be treacherous in parts of the West where snow is forecast. In the Northeast, winter weather is nowhere to be found.
Highs reaching the 70s into the Mid-Atlantic and parts of the Ohio Valley. 60s into southern New England.
Meteorologist Brian Hurley is with the National Weather Service. Driving ISIS out of Ramadi. Iraqi forces pushing further into the city on the second day of an offensive. Ramadi was captured by ISIS earlier this year. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Broadcasting crystal clear from the Peacock Water Newsroom. Your state and local news headlines on News Radio 1490 WMRN.
I'm Randy Bigley in the Peacock Water Newsroom. OhioGasPrices.com projects that consumers nationwide will save $1.6 billion on gas over their year-end travels compared to last year. According to their holiday travel survey, 88% of those heading out of town will be doing so by car. The majority, 66%, driving at least 200 miles round trip.
As a country, we're going to be saving $1.6 billion over the most popular dates of travel. That's December 23 through January 3rd.
Spokesman Patrick Dehan says gasoline supplies are up, and other than vacationers, there isn't much demand for gasoline this time of year.
Aside from Christmas travel, there's not a whole lot of additional demand for gasoline. It comes at a time of year as well when supply is just through the roof. So this is Economics 101. Abundant supply, weak demand is leading to the fall in gas prices.
He predicts that prices will continue to fall, with a few gas stations dropping regular to the $1.30 range next month, with most stations at the $1.60 range, before prices begin to head upward this spring. The eastern half of the nation is experiencing temperatures never before seen at this time of year. Tracy Townsend reports.
More than 2,000 record high temperatures have been tied or broken across the lower 48 states this month. In Connecticut, ski resorts cannot keep the fake snow from melting, while the real snow keeps falling in Colorado. The unseasonable weather even has Mother Nature confused. In Washington, D.C., the cherry blossoms arrived months ahead of schedule.
I'm Tracy Townsend.
The Marion Police Department wants to remind you, when you get your Christmas gifts this week, do yourself a favor and record the serial numbers. If the item has no serial number, consider marking them with an identifier, or at the very least, take photos of them. Without these things, if your items are stolen, they have almost no chance of getting them back without a serial number. This is especially true of electronics and firearms. Governor John Kasich has signed 14 bills into law, including legislation to expand access to treatment for certain sexually transmitted diseases and a measure to create one set of statewide regulations for ride-sharing services. Dave James reports.
The ride-sharing bill would affect companies such as Uber and Lyft, which use smartphone apps to connect drivers with passengers. Also signed yesterday was a so-called ban-the-box bill that would bar job applications from asking about an applicant's criminal background. The STD-related legislation would let doctors prescribe medication to their patients' partners without first examining them. Currently, they must first examine patients before prescribing them antibiotics. The measure would create an exception for partners of patients who have been diagnosed with chlamydia, trichomoniasis, or gonorrhea. Dave James for WMRN News.
Christmas is just a couple days away, and with that comes safety tips so you and your loved ones can have a happy and safe holiday. Ryan Dietz reports.
That live Christmas tree is fun to get and smells great, but if you're not careful this time of year, it can become a fire hazard.
Make sure you check that tree daily to make sure it has ample moisture. We know that as trees dry out, they can become very flammable, and it doesn't take much heat, either from a bulb or even electrical short, to start a fire.
That's Ohio State Fire Marshal Larry Flowers. Along with watering the tree, practice your home escape plan with family. Have two ways out. They and a meeting place once you get out, and never go back inside. Ohio had 115 fatalities in fires last year. Brian Dietz, ONN, Oberlin.
When you see news, you can call the news line at 383-6640. And for more news, go to WMRN.com. And for breaking news, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Broadcasting crystal clear from the Peacock Water Newsroom, I'm Randy Bigley.
The WMRN Road Report, brought to you by Reese Auto Sales on 309.
In Marion County, County Road 141 East, St. James Road at Whetstone River Road is closed until May of 2016 for a bridge replacement.
This report is brought to you by McDaniel Automotive Center.
Have you seen the new Chevy Silverado pickup truck? Its muscular front end, sculpted hood, and signature LED lighting give Silverado a bold new look, while high-strength steel delivers rugged capability that you can depend on. Right now, save up to $10,000 on select Chevy Silverados at the McDaniel GM Superstore. It's just that simple. Chevy, find new roads.
Quello Concerts presents the best gift ever.
Welcome home, baby.
Hi. What's going on here?
I invited my friend Missy over to help me give you your Christmas gift because I know what you've been wanting.
You do?
I know it makes your blood rush.
Oh, yeah?
You want to watch Pink Floyd in concert.
I do. I really do.
And Metallica and Queen and Bowie and Eric Clapton and Nirvana.
I want to watch them all.
And so do I. And so does Missy.
Oh, I totally love Nirvana.
Which is why I got you Quello Concerts. So we're all going to watch Quello together.
Quello Concerts is the ultimate gift for the ultimate music lover. With a subscription to Quello, you get unlimited access to stream thousands of the most incredible concerts and music documentaries ever. Watch on the go or at home on your Roku or any device. Go to Quello.com right now. That's Quello. And get the gift that keeps on rocking.
Join the Marion Family YMCA now until January 9th, and you could save up to $60. If you've always thought about joining the Y but just never got around to it, now is the time to join and save. The YMCA is much more than a place to work out. It's a place to try new programs, meet new friends, become involved in your community, and find a way to stay healthy in spirit, mind, and body. Learn more at marionymca.org or call 725-9622. Join the Y today and see all the new things the Y has to offer.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now. 1-800-485-2190. That's 1-800-485-2190. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven 5-star treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let the Addiction Rehab Specialist help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there'll be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call the Addiction Rehab Specialist at 1-800-485-2190. That's 1-800-485-2190. 1-800-485-2190.
When I think of America, I think of the words innovative, strong, smart. You know what word I don't think of? Hunger. And that's a problem because 1 in 6 Americans will face hunger this year. The problem is invisible, but we have the power to change that. Empty stomachs require loud mouths. So let's get loud. Go to greatnationseat.org and add your name to the growing list of Americans who demand that we do better. America can't be great on an empty stomach. So let's unite and fight. Visit greatnationseat.org.
Does holiday shopping in stores increase your risk of identity theft? Yes. Shopping puts personal information out there, and big retailers have been breached. Does shopping online increase risk? Yes. Online shopping leaves a trail of personal information behind. Does giving fruitcake as a gift increase risk? No. It's not very original, and the fruitcake may never get eaten, but it won't increase risk. Holiday shopping and using Wi-Fi over an eggnog latte at the coffee shop will. That's why LifeLock does more than free credit monitoring services to protect you from identity theft. We have proprietary technology to detect a range of threats. And if you have an identity problem, we have a U.S.-based team of specialists who work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business. But with LifeLock, you can shop till you drop and feel better protected. Even if you do buy the fruitcake again. Right now, enjoy 10% off your membership as our gift to you. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code NEWS.
This report is brought to you by SoundHound. Song stuck in your head? Sing or hum into the SoundHound app and get the results you're looking for. SoundHound is the only music search app that lets you use your voice to discover music. Hear a song you love? Open SoundHound and tap the orange button to find out more or buy the song. Download SoundHound for free from your app store now.
Here's your Marion Area forecast, coming to you safe and sound from the Marion Community Credit Union Weather Center on News Radio 1490 WMRN.
Rain showers with windy conditions today. A thunderstorm is possible. We'll see a high of 64. Windy with showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. A few storms may be severe. We'll see a low of 51. Sunshine and clouds mix for your Thursday with a high of 54. For Christmas Eve, we'll see a few clouds from time to time. We'll have a low of 41.
It was 55 when I came in this morning. It's still 55 degrees. Sports brought to you by Dr. James Gilsdorf, your Invisalign expert in Marion. A couple of college bowl games yesterday. Akron beat Utah State 23-21 out in Boise, Idaho. Toledo beat Temple 32-17 down in Boca Raton, Florida. Boy, when I think college bowl games, I think of going to Boise, Idaho for Christmas. Tonight, a couple of more games. San Diego has Boise State in Northern Illinois. Bowling Green plays Georgia Southern down in Mobile, Alabama. College basketball last night, number one Michigan State beat Oakland University 99-93 in overtime. And the Buckeyes, they win last night. Jaquan Lyle at 18 as Ohio State wins their third in a row. They beat Mercer by a score of 64-44. Next up for the Buckeyes, Sunday they will host South Carolina State. Talking with Charlie and just kind of left our listeners with a little tease there, because obviously one of your highlights was Lady Justice.
Yes, it was. I wanted to mention something, too. Over all these years, my wife, Jeannie, has had to put up with me. I was involved in so much. And the one year when I acquired the donkey, and we eventually had to buy a home in the country because of this donkey. Did you hear?
I don't know that story.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a whole different... One day...
You haven't always lived where you live now, then?
No.
Okay.
John Steele came in to relieve me at 7 o'clock one morning.
I am living in John's house.
Oh, okay. And John said, "Everest, what on earth are you doing out in the parking lot?" I said, "I'm not doing anything. My truck's out there." He said, "No, there's a donkey tied to your truck, and there's hay, bales of hay, a sombrero, and a Mexican blanket." I thought, "No." And he said, "Well, take a look." And sure enough, there was a donkey tied to my truck. And I thought, "Now what do I do?" And I was living in town, of course. I called the police department. I said, "Am I allowed to have a donkey in Marion?" And they said, "As long as it doesn't bray." Well, anyhow, that was followed by another donkey. The radio station had pictures taken of me with my donkey. In fact, many homes in Marion still have that picture, Jeff. And the folks are, a lot of them have passed away, and their children send me that picture and say, "We found this in mother's cupboard, and thought we'd give it back to you."
Where did the donkey come from?
Well, it took me 6 months to find out. It came from Jim Lemke, who had Lemke Implement Company out here. He got the donkey from a farmer, well, a horse raiser, who had Homestead Inn up in Milan, Ohio. And he was the head of the Arabian Horse Association in Ohio. And Jim was a good friend of his, and he always saw this donkey. The donkey was a mascot for all these horses. And Jim convinced him that there was a guy that needed a donkey so bad that would he give his mascot, and so he did. And I didn't know that. Several people knew, though some of the Lemkes, of course, knew where it came from, but it took me a long time. Well, after the radio station here sent out 600 of those pictures from people that asked for them, it showed me with my the back end of my truck and with my donkey. And my mother-in-law had had the picture on her buffet, and she was having a serious repairman in her house. And he looked at that and he said, "Oh boy, that's a coincidence. I've got a donkey too, but I got to give mine away. We're moving." And she said, "Well, I know who will take it." And so that was donkey number two.
What were the names of the donkeys?
Homestead Clyde was the first one. And the second one was Eeyore. And then the third one was Luther. And the fourth one was Nancy. Oh, it was I could take forever to tell. But after I thought, now what do we do? I was keeping the donkeys at my sister-in-law's place, north of Prospect. And what are we going to do? Well, we were going to the Gord Show or something, and we went through Clarendon and saw a for sale sign on this house. And so in the back of the house, there was a well cover, and there was a half of a horseshoe laying there. But we got to looking around and said, "Hey, this wouldn't be bad house. It will make them an offer." But later, I think it was that day or sometime, we were at this festival, and I found another half of a horseshoe along the road, and they matched. Weird. But anyhow, we bought the house. And so after we bought the house, we had the donkeys, and then people started giving us animals. And eventually I had 50 chickens, I had I don't know how many geese, I had guineas, ducks, you know, and turkeys.
I had not heard that story before.
Oh, this is a whole era. Huh. And we had to buy this house in the country, and the area farmers pitched in and put up a fence for me, put in water to the barn. I had a barn built, and oh, that was a whole era. And it lasted until all the donkeys eventually died of old age or sickness, and that was something.
I was not aware of that.
Oh, you'll run across one of those pictures one of these days.
All right. Well, let's talk, because we don't have a lot of time left, but let's talk about Lady Justice.
Yeah, well, this lady called me, Mrs. Knepp, Maxine Knepp, and she said, you know, that the statue's missing from the courthouse, been gone for a long time. In fact, it came out missing, I think, in 18 or 1951. And she said, you know, I've got some money. I'll give you $300 to restore the statue if you can find it. Well, after I was off the air, 10 minutes later, a lady called and said, I'll tell you who's got the statue. Open up the Marion County Historical Society's history book and go to page so-and-so, and there you'll find a picture of the officers of the Historical Society. Count over five faces, and there's your thief.
So she wouldn't give you the name, but she told you it was.
Well, it was Dick Carey. And, of course, Dick he's even lectured on this since that time, and he's wrote the whole story. But, and then, after I got the statue back, we had to protect him. Immediately, the Bar Association or the Sheriff's Department was going to put together a posse and go out and get the statue and him, all this, just crazy. But anyhow, we got the statue back and had to have it, extensive work done on it. First of all, we had it sandblasted, and when we had it sandblasted, it showed all the holes in the statue that were put there by sheriff's deputies shooting pigeons off of it when it was on the courthouse. Oh, my land. And half of the head was missing, and a hand was missing, and I thought, now how do we do all this? Well, Mike Griffith came here that day that they unveiled the statue and said, hey, Evers, you need some help on that? I said, yes. So he took the statue to his house out on in Tully Township. And in the basement, he had her restored. I helped at times to help fiberglass her and so forth. But then I thought, how are we going to get it on top of the courthouse again where it originally was? And Dane Ringert in Waldo said, Evers, you need some help on that? And I said, yes. He was a steeplejack. He worked on all the high buildings in Columbus. And so thank goodness for him. The statue, after it was completed, was brought back to the courthouse, and a whole big crowd assembled, and a helicopter that was hired by the county commissioners came and picked the statue up.
What year was this?
November 15th, 1980 is when we put her back up. And the helicopter picked her up, and I was on top of the courthouse along with Dane, and I had no safety belt there either, working. I had one on, but it wasn't. It's a good thing I didn't trust it. It wasn't attached right, and I would have fallen off. So anyhow, it's a whole...
And it caught fire.
Oh, yeah. We were welding up there. We had to climb up to the top of the courthouse three times. The first time to see what we needed. Second time to install the platform for the statue to rest on. And we had to weld, and in welding, it caught some of the bird's nests on fire that was under the dome. Oh, the great! And there it is. Smoke is rising from the courthouse, and we're up there, and my wife is, and Dane's wife was standing down below and worried, you know. And I yelled down to them, I said, send up some hot dogs. And I thought that would, you know, kind of make light of the whole thing.
But you were worried.
Yeah, really, because we were held on with ropes, and a rope could burn. But eventually all the fire extinguishers in the courthouse were gathered, and we finally got the fire out. But trying to put out a fire like that with a regular fire extinguisher is hard. You know, a CO2 type. Oh, yeah. But we got the fire out, and I thought, man, what if somebody calls the fire department? And there we are up all. But we got through. But when I put the statue up, we had such a huge crowd gathered in downtown Marion. It was the biggest crowd that ever gathered for anything, probably, in downtown Marion. And Gus Judy here certainly did a lot, you know, a background. But the Marion Community Band I had assembled, and when we got the statue on the courthouse and bolted down, they struck up the Star Spangled Banner. And at the same time, in my backpack I had on, I pulled out the American flag, and Dane and I held it between us and made a beautiful picture.
Terrific.
Yeah. And,
Did the Columbus media cover that, do you recall?
I don't think so. I don't believe. There was one man that made a videotape of the whole thing. I think he passed away, Dick Endo. I wonder if that tape is still around. It was, he had a 2.5-hour tape that he made of the, when I first climbed to the top and so forth, and when the helicopter came.
Wow.
It was something.
Well, I knew the 2 hours would go much too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
hey, you're welcome to come out anytime. And again, obviously, when you talk 75 years of WMRN, you can't not talk about some of the things that you accomplished.
It's an interesting time, like we talked about. I never prepared anything ahead of time. I had a lot of experience in life, and I relied on that, you know, to have things to talk about.
Well, terrific. Yeah. And 81 now, right?
81, yes.
Still going strong.
I think so.
Hey, Chad, thanks for coming in, and all you've done to help put WMRN on the map for so many years.
Yeah, that's right. And the groundhog, too.
And the groundhog, too. You're right. Thanks, Charlie. It's about 6 minutes now before 9 o'clock.